Okay, our task today is to discuss the view of contemporary poskim on academic studies. This is obviously something that's very relevant lahalacha for the people in this room in particular. And from what I understand, from what Dr. Sokol told me, we've already had various presentations on the value of work, the value of academic studies in general, from a hashkafic perspective. So today we're going to try to discuss it from a halachic perspective. Now the problem is, when you're given a topic like that, to a lot of different, thank you very much, to different people it means a lot of different things. For some people the question is a question of, can you stop learning in order to go earn a livelihood? Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva where he was asked about a bachur leaving yeshiva to go to study medicine, a 10-year path, or however long the path is, until he finally becomes a doctor. Is a person allowed to stop learning in order to earn a livelihood? And that's largely an issue that's been resolved. It's the best issue if you want to give a shiur. If you want to give a shiur on a sugya, brachas lamed hey, menachas taf tzadi tes, you could discuss to what extent a person is supposed to be v'gisa b'yom and b'layla, learning constantly, never doing anything else, and to what extent do we say that a person is supposed to take off some time in order to be able to earn a livelihood. A great topic for a shiur, but it's largely been resolved. And the way it's largely been resolved is that we generally assume that, and it's possible in Shulchan Aruch this way, that a person has an obligation to earn a livelihood, and that there are yechidei skula who should sit and learn all day and should probably be able to dedicate themselves entirely to Torah. But in terms of practically speaking, for us, that issue is not necessarily the one that's going to be most relevant in poskim. To some people, the question means it's a question of not whether you can study for a parnasa, but what can you study in pursuit of a parnasa. Are there any topics that are off limits? Let's say studying certain things that may border on IP courses is necessary as part of a curriculum in order to achieve a certain livelihood, in order to be able to go into a certain area of a certain profession. Or what about a system that requires, like we have in America, a system of higher education that requires learning things that aren't necessarily usur, but are largely irrelevant to what you're going to be doing for the rest of your life. Meaning a person, let's say, is going to be a financial analyst, or a person is going to be an attorney, a person is going to be a doctor. English literature has very little to do with any of those professions. Maybe a lawyer a little bit more, because he needs to know how to write and to read, but it has little to do, in a direct manner at least, with any of the professions he might be going into. Even if it's perfectly kosher literature, to what extent can one divert his attention from Torah in order to study things that aren't directly related to Parnassa, but in a system that requires a well-rounded education in order to be able to achieve a certain level of Parnassa? And then, of course, you have some people just enjoy reading things. They like knowledge. And to what extent is one allowed to study other things just because they enjoy reading about how the human body works, or how the world works, or how the human mind works, or any number of areas? They enjoy reading about history. They enjoy reading about strategy of war, or whatever else might pique their interest. And then, of course, on a practical level, we very often have an issue that poskim discuss. What if you want one thing, but your parents want something else? Meaning, very often you have a yeshiva bachur who says, "Nafshi chashka b'Torah, all I want to do is learn Torah, that's my only interest, that's my prime interest and my only interest." And the parent says, "That's so beautiful, it's so nice that we raised you to be such a ben Torah, but we sort of have a long view over here, and there's got to be somewhere that this is leading to." To what extent is a person in charge of his own decisions in this area? And then when you zoom out, you have a broader issue of the community. If the community sets up institutions whereby a certain percentage of young people's attention is diverted from Torah, what does that do to our ability to produce gedolim, to produce people who are going to be completely dedicated to Torah and true masters of Torah? And we also have to deal with risks of studying, ancillary risks of studying a variety of subjects. Not only the risk of what you might be studying, which we mentioned as one of the questions, but risks like what kind of environment is a person putting himself in? Is a person going to be exposed to arayos? Is a person going to be exposed to a certain style of life that's antithetical to Torah? Is a person going to be exposed to the wrong kinds of people, the wrong kinds of role models? And what does that do to his development as a Ben Torah? So all of these different issues go into the equation. And that's why when given a half hour to talk about, do I get only 15 minutes because we started 15 minutes and I still get a half hour? When given a half hour to talk about... So when given a half hour to talk about a topic like this, you could really spend well more than a half hour on any one of the five or six topics that I just mentioned. So what we're going to try to do is as follows in the time allotted. What we're going to try to do is go through the approaches of three or four Gedolei Yisrael to the issue of studying secular subjects. And many of these Gedolei Yisrael take a number of these different issues into account. So we're just going to go through the approaches of three or four Gedolei Yisrael. We're going to have a specific focus on, at the end, on specific areas of study, natural sciences, history, language, literature, API courses. Then we're going to discuss practical applications to the extent that's appropriate to discuss practical applications. So first I want to go through the Shita of Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman. Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman prints an essay in Kovitz Shurim. The essay is printed in Kovitz Shurim. It's not really an essay. It was a tshuva. Many, many years ago, Rav Schwab was troubled by what the attitude ought to be of the German community, which is the Torah im Derech Eretz approach, and whether that's a classically acceptable approach. And he sent the question to a number of Gedolei Yisrael. He sent the question to Rav Bloch, to the Ragachover, to Rav Baruch Ber, and to Rav Elchanan Wasserman. And they each, the responses of each of them are absolutely fascinating. But we'll try to summarize what Rav Elchanan has to say. So Rav Elchanan starts off by saying that if what you plan on studying involves any sense of minus, of api courses, anything that is hashkafically challenging material, it is a non-starter. It is also the Srapos Ba'atze Asherah. Even if you feel that there's a toeles, you're not allowed to use something that is antithetical to Torah values in order to achieve whatever it is that you're trying to achieve. Says Rav Elchanan, what about the Rambam? The Rambam studied philosophy, and much of the philosophy that the Rambam studied is certainly antithetical to Torah values and is also quite appealing and could very easily sway a person. How is the Rambam allowed to do that? So Rav Elchanan says that the Rambam writes in one of his letters that he studied it, L'shari ses ha-Torah, li'osol l'rakachos l'tabachos, that the reason he studied other chachmos is to serve Torah. That it's like the cooks in the kitchen for the household of Torah. It's like the maids in the household of Torah, where it sort of helps in his understanding of Torah, but it clearly is limited to its own place. Says Rav Elchanan, very nice that he says that, but how is it permissible? So he said, no, clearly since he was doing L'shei Mitzvah, we have a principle, Shluchei Mitzvah in Nizakin, and if a person is doing something L'shei Mitzvah, he's not going to be hurt by it, so the Rambam wasn't hurt by it. Great, so now we can do that. Says Rav Elchanan, no, because there's also a principle, the Gemara Maseches Pesachim tells us in the first parak, Heicha D'Shchiach Hezeka Shaini, that if it's a very common hezek that's going to come about, a person is very likely to be hurt by something, then you're not allowed to rely on Shluchei Mitzvah and Nizakin. One is not allowed, the Gemara is talking in the context of Bedikas Chametz, but it applies all over the place. One is not allowed to rely on not being damaged as a Shliach Mitzvah. So Rav Elchanan very simply says, for the Rambam, it's not Shchiach Hezekah, because he was strong enough, he was powerful enough, that it wasn't likely going to hurt him. Who amongst us is going to say that we are as strong as the Rambam and that it's not Shchiach Hezekah for us? For us, it's Shchiach Hezekah. Then Rav Elchanan says, you have to remember, Chazal made all sorts of gzeros. If you live in the Mishnayos and Maseches Avodah Zarah, about Bishul Akum and Stam Yeinam and Shemen Akum even originally, till the Beidina Deshara Mishka was Matir Shemen Akum. And you have all sorts of gezeros, lest we come too close with the Umos HaOlam, lest we develop too friendly a relationship with the non-Jewish world. Rabbi Chanan says if you're going to be in an environment of university where you're becoming part of a culture, university is like a subculture in society, for the most part, unless you're in a commuter school. So you're going to be in that kind of environment. You're really throwing yourself into the culture. He finds that to be very dangerous. And Rabbi Chanan says, but of course you do have to learn the profession. You just, it's certainly, and we know this, the Rambam wrote very, very strongly against those who want to put the burden of their own parnasa on other people. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos, Pirkei Avos, says very, very strongly and very, very clearly that a person is not allowed to say, I'm going to learn Torah all day, and because I want to learn Torah all day, it is your responsibility to support me. The Rambam even goes so far as to say, why is it that there were Tanaim that were poor? How is it that you ever had a Tana that was poor? Did people not realize that there was a Tana? You know, let me ask you something. If Rabbi Akiva lived in your neighborhood, wouldn't you make sure that he had food to put on his table? If you had a Tana that lived next door, wouldn't you want to take care of him? So what? The Jews back in those days didn't care? They didn't care about the fact that there were Tanaim that were poor? No, of course they cared. And of course they offered, says the Rambam. But the Tanaim wouldn't take it. They don't want to take any Hana'a from their Limud Torah. So if a person is going, so they got jobs instead. So you have a Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler, they got jobs, they did things, whatever manual labor they were able to do to be able to provide them with a minimal sustenance. So that for sure you have to do. But that has nothing to do, says Rabbi Yochanan, with studying secular subjects. You get a job in order to do something. What about Bittul Torah? Rabbi Yochanan says that's another issue. That it may be a violation of, it certainly is, he suggests, a violation of Bittul Torah to study other things. And Rav Elchanan quotes the Rama in Yoredeya, I think in the first Maramakom in this packet, the Reish was left off, and it says Mem Aleph. It's not a Magen Avram. Magen Avram didn't write in Yoredeya. It's Rama in Yoredeya, where the Rama says that a person is going to learn Shar Chachmos, he can only do it Ba'akra'i. He can only do it, you know, on occasion. It can't be certainly his primary focus. Rabbi Chanan points out that the real reason is that the Rama says that is not really so much about Bittul Torah. It's more about having the perspective that Torah is the Iker. L'may nafkamina, whether it's about Bittul Torah or whether it's about keeping your head screwed on straight and keeping the proper perspective. So he says nafkamina would be for women. There's no Isra of Bittul Torah for women, but women also have to recognize that the other Chachmos are only secondary to Chachmas HaTorah. The German insistence on rabbis who all had PhDs, rabbi doctor, before you could even be eligible for a job in the German communities, Rabbi Chanan was very much against. He says, Adrabi, you need your rabbis to be as great, great Talmidei Chachamim, and to the extent that they've been learning other things, they've been pulling themselves away from Torah. So we can classify Rabbi Chanan's response pretty easily. It fits pretty neatly into a very strict point of view in terms of what one may study, very, very small amount that one may study, how much one may study. Even the heter for Parnassa is very limited, according to Rav Elchanan. And surprisingly, I guess somewhat surprisingly, Rav Moshe Feinstein, in his tshuva, it's also in the packets over there, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a similarly strict view. At least in writing, there are those that argue that when dealing with personal etzah, sometimes he gave different approaches depending on the individual, but he has a similarly strict view. He has a tshuva to Rav Yosef Tendler, Zichrono Levracha, who is the menahel in Yeshivas Ner Yisrael, in the high school in Ner Yisrael, for many years. And Rabbi Tendler was asking about a boy who wanted to leave yeshiva in order to begin the study of medicine. And he said the boy had no need to make a parnasa right now. He was 18 years old. But ultimately he wants to make a parnasa. He feels that he always dreamt about being a doctor, probably because his mother drilled it into him from the time that he was born, had on his mobile over his crib, you must be a doctor, the music was playing. So he felt like his only way of feeling any sense of Sipuka Nefesh is if he's going to be a doctor. So is he permitted to leave yeshiva? And Rabbi Tendler asks also what the yeshiva's approach should be. And Rav Moshe also takes a very, very strict stance. He says, you know, people want to be doctors. It takes a decade to study it. He says there's a mitzvah to earn a parnasa, When you're ready, you learn a parnasa. Rav Moshe understands this is what this is the way he understands the mission at the end of Kiddushin. Eini melamides b'ni ela Torah is not against the idea of being melamid in umnos. When a child is young, only teach him Torah because there's no chance of him becoming a Talmud Chacham if you're teaching him other things also. Rav Moshe understands he can only be a Talmud Chacham if you teach him exclusively Torah. What's he going to do about a parnasa? So when he gets married and he signs on that ksuba that he's going to be supporting that woman, a lot of guys don't realize that's what you're agreeing to when you do that Kabbalah's Kinyan. Even if you don't sign, you do a Kabbalah's Kinyan and two Adim sign that so you agree that you're going to be supporting that woman, that you're going to be making a living. So then go try to get a job. See if maybe sanitation department can use somebody to work for them, or any other blue collar job. You know, Rav Amital Zichrono Levracha from Yeshivat Har Etzion from Gush once remarked that there's been a tremendous shift in the way our community, meaning the centrist Orthodox community, or the Orthodox community, let's put it that way, Shomrei Torah Mitzvos view Parnassa versus Torah study. He said it used to be in Europe that one would use their brain for Torah study, and one would use their hands and their physical strength for making a living. That they would do, they'd be a tailor, they'd be a carpenter, they would do blue-collar jobs, and their brain was focused on Torah study. Now the shift has become, he said, that, and he thinks it's a positive thing, that we use our brain for our parnasa, which certainly gives a person a much greater sense of sipuk and accomplishment when he feels like he has to use his brain in order to earn a living. But he says an unfortunate side effect of that seems to have been that people stopped using their brain for Avodas Hashem. They're very interested in being active in the community and chesed and things of that nature, but they forget that the brain, which is the greatest gift that Ribbono Shel gave us, should be used primarily for Torah study. A person has to be on guard about that. And Rav Moshe writes that, you know, he's not so convinced that you need to be a doctor in order to make a good living. He says, I know plenty of entrepreneurs who did their own thing and they managed to put it together. And he doesn't understand when Rabbi Tendler posed the question, the guy only feels sipuk ha-nefesh if he's going to be a doctor. He said, sipuk ha-nefesh? That only comes from Torah. He didn't even understand the term. He said, sipuk ha-guf. You mean sipuk ha-guf, right? Because sipuk ha-nefesh can only come from Torah. It can't come from anywhere else. He even goes so far as to say, you know, you got to be careful about trying too hard to keep the boy in yeshiva, because you have to be careful that he not corrupt the other boys. And he goes so far as to say that you shouldn't be so quick to trust that he'll manage to remain a ben Torah and an adam kasher when he goes to school, because look, he didn't even remain a ben Torah and an adam kasher when he was in yeshiva. So don't be so convinced that he's going to remain that way. For what? For a boy who wanted to do what every Jewish mother dreams of. That he used to be before, you know, the landscape changed a little bit. That everyone wants, all he wanted to do is be a doctor. The kid's not asking. But Rav Moshe had this very strict, at least in writing, this very strict approach. So let's go to the other side. The other extreme, so to speak. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zichrono Levracha, formulated his approach toward secular knowledge. Now, if you know anything about Rav Lichtenstein, you know that he knew everything, that he was very interested and achieved secularly on an extraordinarily high level, even things that he studied things that we would not immediately associate with Parnassa, certainly not with the Parnassa of a Rosh Yeshiva, but even with anybody's Parnassa. And he formulated the idea, and it's printed in the book Leaves of Faith. I gave you a little excerpt in the Mar Makomos over here, that there are many benefits to studying secular subjects. First of all, he says, practically, to make a parnasa, there's no arguing that it certainly helps. That having a college degree, being able to go out with something on your resume that says that you've had a proper course of study, there's no doubt that that helps you in finding a job. But then he said, also, if we are to combat the values of worldliness and of secularists who believe certain things that are antithetical to Torah, if we don't even understand what they're saying, we can't possibly argue with them. We can't possibly have that discussion. We need to at least understand the language of the conversation in order to be able to have that discussion. what about the sakana? So he doesn't really address it directly, but probably he would say, you know, it's very nice to say that the Rambam was able to handle it and we're not able to handle it, but somebody's got to handle it, meaning somebody has to deal with the influences of secular culture. Someone has to articulate a proper response to it, and we can't all say that nobody's able to articulate a proper response because it's too dangerous. So those B'nai Torah, people who are whose heads are largely in Torah, should develop the ability to articulate such a response. And then he goes on to say, and this is where he really sets the bar rather high, that secular studies can very often be an accessory to Talmud Torah. In what sense can they be an accessory to Talmud Torah? So I would have said, you know, biology in terms of learning Hilchos Treifos. You need to know, if you never dissected an animal, you never saw what the inside of an animal is, you have no idea what Hilchos Treifos is about. They've cut out Treifos from most smicha programs because nowadays it's dealt with by the shachtleizes, or the local rabbi never has to deal with Treifos. But it is a part of Torah. Someone's got to learn it. And if you don't know the basic makeup of the animal, you have no idea. So he says, yeah, and also, if you don't study agronomy, which I never even heard the word, then how could you possibly understand Zrayim? If you don't study chemistry, how could you understand Chametz Matzah? If you don't study the literature, how could you understand Amos? He goes on, a list, he says, that could go on and on about the different areas of study that will enable a person to learn Torah more effectively. You know, it struck me as very interesting that when Rav Belsky Zichrono Levracha passed away this past year, a lot of the conversation was about not only his greatness in Torah and in Psak Halacha, but about just how much he knew. Now, it seems that his knowledge of science, his knowledge of the world, really came from a desire to understand Torah. When they're writing the art school Gemaras and they come across that, you know, the Gemara about the star, any sugya about the stars and where the sun is going, they needed to run to Rav Belsky because he's the only one that knew what it was talking about. So this idea that study of these types of areas as an accessory to Talmud Torah is something that l'chora is widely accepted, but there are those that argue that you can get it all from Torah itself, that you don't need to engage in the study of other things. And then where Rav Aaron takes it further than probably most would take it, Rav Aaron says that it also intensifies one's spiritual personality by exposure to other formulations of morality, and that a person's own religious experience can be enhanced by being exposed to the beauty of literature, by being exposed to the beauty of culture. And yes, of course, there are things that you will study along the way that have absolutely nothing to do with any of those values, but it's impossible to cherry pick and to say, this is valuable, I'm going to study that line of that poem and that line, that chapter of the biology book. It's impossible to do that, says Rav Aaron. So you just have to go through the entire education in order to be able to know how to find value. Mori Verabi Rav Mordechai Willig has sort of an in-between approach. And Rav Willig's approach is, you know, the Ramah writes, the Rambam writes, that one can only be metayel bepardes once he's filled his stomach with basar v'yayin. The Gemara says like that. There's a question, though, what metayel bepardes means. The Ramah understands that metayel bepardes means chachma, which would mean that no one should start their college career until they have filled their stomachs with basar v'yayin, which means studying all of Shas and Halacha. One is very, very strongly well-grounded in Shas and Halacha. Now that's quite a bar to set for admission to college. That before you begin to be, or high school for that matter, that before you begin to be metayel bepardes, that one, and that seems to be the Shitas HaRamah. However, Rav Willig points out, we probably assume like the Gra, that pardes doesn't mean chachma, pardes means Kabbalah. And of course, if one is going to study Kabbalah, it's like Rav Yaakov Hillel once said, that if you want to know who is a proper Kabbalist and who is not, he's one of the most down-to-earth Mekubalim, Rav Yaakov Hillel. He said that whenever a Mekubal comes to town and he's going to perform whatever miracles or give advice to people, the first thing that they should do in the local community is invite him to say a shir in the local kailah. And if he says, no thanks, then you say, no thanks, we're not interested. Because if he's not Mali Kresel, the Basav Yayin, if he's not well-grounded in being able to express normal Torah, then Rabbi Yaakov Hillel says, "Hu einu mekubal el mekabel." He's not a mekubal, he is a mekabel. He likes to take people's money. But that's how the Gra understands Pardix. We understand, and Rav Willig suggests that probably that's how we paskin. But Rav Willig argues, it certainly should be an appropriate area of Chachma, and one should not study things that would lead a person to heretical beliefs or that could be damaging in any other way. So, for example, natural sciences, it's a very hard argument to make that they're inherently problematic. The natural sciences are problematic. The Rambam is explicit about the value of natural sciences, although, to the extreme right, you do have Rav Menashe Klein in his Tshuva saying all science is apikorsis. Very hard to understand that position. Presumably, natural sciences would be something that would be of value. History, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Shin Zayin Hilcha Shabbos, one shouldn't study history on Shabbos. It's in a funny line, he writes, or during the week, because it's all a Moshe of Leitzim. However, many other Achronim suggest otherwise. Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes that it's certainly important to be educated in history in the eyes of others so you can communicate with people. Chazon Ish repeats the often repeated refrain that one who doesn't study history is deemed to repeat it. And there are many, many Achronim that suggest that there's great value in history as well. Now, the Yehuda talks about the value of language, of being able to communicate in the native language of the country, and to do so effectively, and that certainly you can often see a difference between people who are properly educated secularly and those who are not, in terms of the way they communicate. When you get up to give a shiur in your shul, you know, on Sukkot or Pesach, between Mincha and Maariv, and the local rabbi just needs a break, and he says, can you speak for 20 minutes? If the whole shiur is given with your thumbs, but there are no English words coming out of your mouth, and people have no idea what you're talking about, that doesn't reflect well. And it reflects much better on a person when they're able to communicate effectively in the English language, which can only be done by actually studying it. Certainly literature helps with that, but one has to be careful with how they choose literature. So Lemaisa, at the end of the day, there are several different contexts that one may find themselves in when it comes to studying secular subjects. Secular college on campus, you know, on a secular campus, it seems to be a very challenging thing to justify because you're dealing with exposure to way too much. I mean, before you get into the subjects and what you're learning in the classroom, it's exposure to a lifestyle that is very antithetical to Torah values. Typically, Rav Moshe Weinberger laments how historically and certainly in today's day and age in America, there's a tremendous amount of gaiva that permeates, that drips out of many college campuses where people feel that they have it all figured out, and sometimes people can be drawn in to something like that. A commuter college would obviously be a very different type of situation in terms of the arayos that one is exposed to. You know, people talk about the Rambam. As Rav Moshe Weinberger points out, the Rambam wasn't studying in the University of Florida, and nothing against if you're a fan of the football team or anything, I don't want to insult anyone, but he wasn't like under a palm tree reading poetry to his girlfriend in the University of Florida. You know, it was like a different kind of experience. Secular knowledge is not the same as like engaging in arayos. In a university like this, or a university that combines Torah study with secular knowledge. So if one were to take the approach of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, one would take the approach that get the top-notch secular education as it's offered, as it would be offered in any other place, even if there may be challenging material in there, because that's how you become a master of those fields of learning. Whereas according to the approach of Mori Rabbi Rav Willig, it would be that one has to be very selective in what one studies, that it's important to study, but one has to be very selective and make sure that they're not studying anything that's going to be problematic. And in fact, here in the yeshiva, Dr. Sokol was just telling me that everything has to, that Rabbi Sachs has veto power on, and he doesn't need to use it because Dr. Sokol uses it on things that would be otherwise difficult or challenging material, and to always remember what the Rambam writes, l'rakachos u'l'tabachos. the secular studies could be the bakers, they could be the cooks, they will have a lot of value in terms of molding the person, but it's secondary value to the value of Torah. And that should reflect itself in terms of the time that we dedicated, in terms of how we view our experience. When one approaches you, what are you doing with your life? The first answer is, I'm a Ben Torah. I'm learning in yeshiva. And that's not just now. For the rest of your life, even when the time can't be split in the way that it's currently split, the Rambam writes that a person should learn 9 hours a day and work 3 hours a day. Rav Willig often likes to say that he's a big maker. He even allows a person to work 9 hours a day and learn 3 hours a day. But the point is that one's primary focus should be on his learning. That's how he should define himself. Once you get to the graduate school level, then you're dealing with a whole different reality, because that's much more focused on what your profession is actually going to be. That would seem to be much more of a limud umnus type of issue. Very often, and certainly I would recommend that by the time a person goes to a second, if one goes to a secular graduate school, to be married already, where you have a certain stability in a person's life. Of course, we can't always help that, but that's ideal. And throughout life, a person wants to read to satisfy a thirst for knowledge. So the Rama is explicit. The Rama writes, you can do that, ba'akrayim. You could do that, but don't make that your primary focus. Your primary focus should still be to study Torah. A person works very hard. There's only a certain amount of time that he has to study other things. Make sure the bulk of your time, the bulk of your energy is on Torah study. And then, ba'akrayim, you can read other things, whatever it might be that interests you, and that helps form the personality. So essentially, we didn't come to any very specific, clear conclusions for all of Klal Yisrael. But for us, what we need to keep in mind is the primacy of Torah study, how we should try to avoid those areas of study that are challenging to a Torah hashkafa, and certainly that are challenging to a Torah way of life, but also the great value that one can achieve, both in terms of practically in Parnassa, as well as just being a well-rounded person by exposing oneself to a proper college education. Have a wonderful Shabbos, everybody.